Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
As we continue our journey through the Holy Land, we're now at the point of the resurrection day, the glorious day when Jesus rose from the tomb. It is in Matthew chapter 28, and it's in all of the Gospels, actually all four Gospels. And this one is chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew, verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from the sky and came and rolled away the stone from the door and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook, and they became like dead men. The angel answered the women, 'Don't be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just like he said. Come, see the place where the Lord was lying.' And these women saw an empty tomb." It's amazing that Jesus chose women to be the first eyewitnesses of the most important event in human history. You have to understand that in the Jewish, the Greek, and the Roman culture, in fact, all the cultures at the time, women were not highly thought of. In fact, you would not rely upon women for testimony. They were considered, in many cases, unreliable. And in some cases, they were excluded from participation in full society. In fact, there's some incredible statements written by the Roman Pliny the Elder about women. Pliny the Elder is the one who ultimately went to Pompeii. He was in Rome, in Italy at the time, and he was actually in Napoli, and he was there seeing the eruption of Pompeii, and he went over there to help people, and he ultimately died in that volcanic eruption. It was his nephew, Pliny the Younger, who ultimately recorded the events, and now we know what he saw as an eyewitness. But Pliny the Elder was very much anti-Christian and very much anti-woman, and he reflected an attitude at the time that was shared by the Greeks and certainly also among the Jewish community as well, at least in terms of the more religious community, not that which is shared by the scriptures themselves. But Jesus then took these women, and he could have taken instead a respectable rabbi. If I were to write this script, I would have chosen a respectable rabbi, somebody who, when you heard his name, it was obvious that he's reputable. If he says it, obviously, the tomb was empty. And not only was it empty, that he actually saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Not that the tomb was just empty, but he actually encountered the Lord Jesus Christ alive. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't have some Roman official of high level, not some Jewish leader that people would say, yes, if he says it, then it's got to be true. No, he chose women. And one of those women had seven demons that possessed her, and he cast the demons out of her, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala, who lived in Migdal, or Magdala, there by the Sea of Galilee. He chose these women to be the eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So when we're looking at the facts about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin with that particular fact there. You would not write the story this way. Let's look at the facts about the resurrection, and I want to briefly touch on four facts, because this is not something that you have to just accept with blind faith. There is a lot of facts. There are a lot of indicia. There's a lot of historical documents outside of the Bible, including obviously the Bible, that address all of these issues of not only the death, but the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus' death was by crucifixion. Secondly, the disciples believed that Jesus rose from the dead. We'll talk about each one of these. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul was converted. And fourthly, so was the skeptic James, the brother of Jesus. four different points. Jesus died by crucifixion. The disciples believed Jesus rose from the dead. The conversion of the persecutor, Paul, and the conversion of the skeptic, James. Let's begin with Jesus' death by crucifixion. It's reported in the Bible that crucifixion certainly is the most serious curse of God. Deuteronomy says that those who are hung on a tree are cursed by God. But you also have other non-Christian sources outside of the Bible. Josephus, a Jewish historian at the first century, was not a believer in the Lord Jesus, but he was a well-known, very reputable historian. And in his writings, he says, when Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men, speaking of Jesus, of the highest standing among us, he condemned him to be crucified. That's an extra biblical source saying that Jesus was crucified. Tacitus, he says, another historian at the time, Christus, from whom the name Christians had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. Lucian of Samosata, a Greek satirist, says, the Christians, you know, worship a man to this day, the distinguished personage who introduced their movement and their rites and was crucified on that account. The Talmud, which comes later, a Jewish source, certainly is not going to be something that wants to promote Jesus as the Messiah, but this Jewish source after Jesus' time says, on the eve of the Passover, Yeshua, which is his Hebrew name, was hanged on a tree. Tacitus also says that the very word cross should be far removed, not only from the person of a Roman citizen, but from his thoughts, his eyes, and his ears. It is the extreme penalty. And as I said, Deuteronomy chapter 21:2 says, the person hung on a tree is cursed by God. The New Testament speaks about in Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, referring to the passage in Deuteronomy. It is a curse to be hung on a tree. We've talked about the fact that Jesus died by crucifixion. We've already addressed the medical signs. He had hypovolemic shock, which involves excessive loss of blood, rapid heartbeat, fainting, thirsting. And fluid builds up around the heart and lungs, thus the reason why when he was pierced with a sword or a spear in his side, blood and water came out. Hypovolemic shock is due to an excessive loss of blood. That excessive loss of blood is induced by the brutal beating when history actually talks about people who were crucified. Many of them never made it to the cross because they were brutally beaten and some of their entrails or their intestines literally fell out and they never even made it to the cross. They were dead before they were hung on a cross. If they made it to the cross, that was not only a continuation of the excessive loss of blood, but you ultimately suffocated. And so when you are losing oxygen and your blood level is very low, you go into hypovolemic shock, rapid heartbeat, fainting. Jesus fainted, thirsting. I thirst, remember, he said, and the fluid build up around the heart and lungs, thus the water and blood coming out. There's no question. Jesus didn't get put into the tomb, beat up, unconscious, capable of ultimately living. He could not have walked after having nails put through his feet or his ankle area or through his body. He could not have ultimately recovered at all. He died. He died. The Bible says so, and history confirms it. The worst possible death imaginable. The second point is, the disciples believed Jesus rose from the dead. You say, so what? Obviously, they believed Jesus rose from the dead. Not so fast. The disciples did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, even when the tomb was empty, except for one, and that was the Apostle John. John is the only one who actually saw the empty tomb and immediately believed all the other disciples, including Peter. Not just doubting Thomas. Thomas was just one of them. They didn't believe Jesus was alive and risen from the tomb until they actually saw him and Thomas actually touched him. They wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe the women. They didn't automatically believe. They didn't all of a sudden come to reality that, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, but you remember back in Caesarea Philippi, that he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to be mistreated by the leaders and the elders and the religious authorities. He was going to suffer, die, and he was going to rise again. They never recalled those scriptures until they had an encounter with Jesus, whether it was in person while they were assembled together, whether they touched him, or whether they encountered him on the road to Emmaus. It was not the fact that they remembered what Jesus said, that the tomb was empty. They had to have a personal encounter. They believed Jesus rose from the dead, except for one. Only John believed when he saw the empty tomb. He's the only one. The only one. The Bible and the secular sources agree that the disciples believed that Jesus saw him. The empty tomb alone would not have changed their behavior. Why? Look, you have Watergate as an example. And you have these people that were very close to President Nixon. And they committed the break-in at the Democratic National Committee's headquarters during Nixon's term in office. These were people very, very, very loyal to President Nixon. And you know, it took only a matter of hours before they rolled over and they began to spill the beans that, yes, they were part of this, and yes, it goes all the way up to the highest level of President Nixon. These are people that were sworn to protect the president. These were loyal people. And yet, they ultimately broke. There is not a single instance of any of the followers of Jesus, and certainly none of the apostles or the disciples, not a single instance in any literature anywhere where they said, you know, I said that he rose from the dead, but it really wasn't true. In fact, how did these people who were not very well educated necessarily, that they were completely afraid, that they thought all of what they had lived for and hoped for was gone, how did they come to the place where they were willing to actually follow the steps of Jesus and give their lives? In fact, many of them did. How did Peter, how did these people like that come to the place where Peter was willing to be crucified, but not even in an upright position according to tradition, upside down? Because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified in the manner of his Lord. These individuals had an incredible overnight transition that cannot be explained by the fact that the tomb was empty. If the tomb was empty and you thought somebody stole the body or something happened to his body and people hid it, you would not ultimately have this day and night transformation. The transformation came only after seeing the resurrected Jesus for all the disciples except for John. Their despondency and fear were transformed into a willingness to die for Jesus. Only seeing the resurrected Jesus could have explained such a radical 180-degree turnaround. Let's look at point three, the conversion of the persecutor, Paul. Now, Paul had no desire to see Jesus. Paul was a Pharisee. He was working his way up into the religious elite. He was the elite of the religious leaders in the Pharisaical line. In fact, he was not only a Pharisaical fanatic, he was a Pharisaical killer. He tried and he actually killed Christians because he hated Jesus. He hated him with a passion. He was the one holding the cloaks of those while he watched, imagine this, he's watching young Stephen gasp his last breath as one stone after another pummels his body, and he's in full 100% agreement. He's going on the way to Damascus. Why? Because he wants to arrest women and other members of the family, men, husbands, boys, girls. He wants to incarcerate them. He wants to punish them, and he wants them all to be dead because he thinks that they are a threat to his way of life. He had no interest at all in Jesus, and he wanted to eliminate those who did. But what happened to him on the way to Damascus, an incredible thing happened. He had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, he was willing to forsake everything in Judaism for which he was trained. Everything. He counted it all to be trash. And his only joy in life was to follow the Lord Jesus, and he ultimately did so to his death in Rome. The conversion of the skeptic, James. James is the brother of Jesus. He is the brother of Jesus through his mother. The same womb carried Jesus that carried James. James and the family, the brothers, they did not believe in Jesus. Jesus had at least four brothers, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, four brothers. James was a pious Jew, and he strictly followed the Jewish law. And you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 21 of the Gospel of Mark, I should say, it says this, "And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him," speaking of Jesus, "for they were saying," and this is what his brothers and his family members were saying, "he is out of his mind." His brothers. Let's go seize our brother. He's embarrassing us. He's saying strange things. He's even making himself equal to God. He's saying that he was alive even before Abraham was alive. What an embarrassment to our family. Let's go seize him and get him out of here because he's foolish. He's out of his mind. That's his brothers. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "For not even his brothers believed in him." But something happened to James. And it's actually recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. I encourage you to read that passage. It's actually after the resurrection. And who was gathered there at that time but his brothers, including James, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, it says, were gathered there, quote, "and his brothers were gathered." And they gathered together following the crucifixion. And it was among that group that Jesus ultimately later appeared. Why would these Jewish people now that thought Jesus was out of his mind gather together with other people who actually believed in Jesus? Something happened even before they saw him. But when they saw him, they were transformed. James became a leader of the Jerusalem church. You can read that in Acts chapter 15. He was part of the Jerusalem council. You can also read that in Acts chapter 21 and verse 18. And in Galatians 1:19, it says, quote, "James, the brother, the Lord's brother." This is the brother of Jesus. Paul calls James, Peter, and John pillars of the church in Galatians 2, verse 9. And in James chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. This is James, the same one, the skeptic. "My brothers," he's writing in the book of James, "show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." The skeptic was transformed, and he became a leader, not in a Jerusalem Jewish synagogue, but in a Jerusalem Christian assembly. Jews gathered together who believed in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. It is an incredible transformation that occurred. It is no doubt that Jesus died. There is no doubt that the disciples were transformed after they saw him, except for John, who believed before he saw him. There's no doubt that the persecutor Paul was radically changed and gave up everything for Jesus. And there's no doubt that his brother, the skeptic, and his other brothers, skeptics as well, were radically changed. And James became a leader in the Jerusalem church. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the most foundational, fundamental, consequential event in human history. And I encourage you to read the Gospels and follow the story and the life and teachings of our Lord. He is not in this tomb. He is risen indeed. He is the creator of the universe. He is the King of kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. At his feet, every knee shall bow. And he wants you in perfect and daily intimate fellowship with him. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.